Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Our Islamic Beliefs Before we begin let's hear an excellence of reciting صلاة على النبي The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said زينوا مجالسكم بالصلاة علي فإن صلاتكم علي نور لكم يوم القيامة Decorate your gatherings by reciting salat upon me for indeed your recitation of salat upon me will be نور for you on the day of judgment صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Dear viewers on the channel inshallah in this episode we're going to hear about important aspects related to our aqidah our belief in Islam As you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Quran al-Kareem mentions those who believed and those he has favored. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Indeed, those who believed and did righteous actions. Now, what's the reward for such people who throughout their lives they believed in Allah, in His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the tenets of faith. And alongside that, they did good actions as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ For such people are gardens beneath which rivers flow. And that is great success. And those people who did righteous actions, those people who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one thing they also did, they ensured that throughout their lives, they did not say or utter anything which destroyed their faith, which deteriorated their faith, which nullified their faith, their belief in Allah, belief in Islam, belief in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, etc. So they remained firm on Iman and they stayed away from Kufr. And this is what we need to do as well. We must do, we have to do. Remember, the only people to enter Jannah are the believers, mu'minun. No disbeliever will enter Jannah. So someone who had Iman, he must ensure that he dies upon Iman as well. Otherwise, a person could be a Muslim all his life. But the final moment is what counts. When he leave in a state of Iman? And for that, of course, it goes without saying that we need to learn our deen. We need to learn our aqeedah. What we can say, what we can't say. Otherwise, there are very grave warnings in hadith. Let me mention an example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith said, save yourselves from fitan, meaning tribulations. And before that time, do righteous action. What are those eras? That era is an era in which a person will go to sleep as a Muslim, he'll wake up as a kafir. Or he'll wake up as a believer and by nightfall, by evening, he'll be a disbeliever. And how is that? He will say such things from his tongue which nullifies his iman. Kufriya kalimat, statements of disbelief. And of course, if somebody's aqidah is not correct or he's nullified his aqidah, his iman by saying a kufriya statement, he could do all the good deeds he wants. Meaning he can worship all he likes. He can do as many charitable acts as he wants. But none of that will benefit. Why? Because the reward of that in the akhirah is solely for the believers. So first things first, we have to ensure that our iman remains intact. We don't say anything with our tongue that destroys our iman. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the offspring of Adam alayhi salam fall into four categories. Number one, those who were born as believers, meaning in Muslim households, and then they died upon belief as well, Islam as well. Alhamdulillah. Then there are those who were born as disbelievers, meaning in disbelieving households. That's how they grew up. Their upbringing was in relation to that. And then they died upon kufr and disbelief as well. The third category, those who were born Muslims in Muslim households, but ma'adallah, they died upon disbelief. And the fourth category are those who were born into disbelieving households. They were born as disbelievers. And they died upon Iman. Just to clarify, when we say born as disbelievers, what we mean is in disbelieving households and their surroundings, that's what all they were taught. Otherwise, in another narration, we're told that all children are born upon fitrah, natural disposition of Islam. and it's the parents that make them into disbelievers. So this is to be kept in mind. But nevertheless, this is a hadith which we should remember. Today, if we're believers, we should pray that Allah makes us die as believers as well. This hadith should frighten us, that there will be certain people who will be born into Muslim households, will be born as believers, but na'udhu billah, ma'azallah, they will die as disbelievers. Why is that? It goes back to what they said, what they did. They did actions that fall into the category of kufr, disbelief. They said things that fall into the category of disbelief. They renounced their faith. They objected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had the wrong beliefs about Allah azza wa jal and His messengers, alayhi salam, etc. And our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so merciful. He's rahmatul alameen, that 1400 plus years ago, He taught us a dua that we should read constantly. And that dua, inshallah, will lead to us dying upon iman. Ya muqallib al-qurub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O Allah, You are the turner of hearts. Make my heart steadfast upon Your deen, the deen of Islam. And if we constantly recite this with sidq, with truthfulness and sincerity, inshallah, we will gain the blessings of this dua. So, we must safeguard ourselves from falling into any type of company that leads to disbelief even. Any conversation that takes us towards objecting to our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal, etc. And awamun nas, they need to be nurtured in this regard. They need to be taught by the ulama, by ahlul ilm, by muballighin, that look, you can't just say anything and everything. You have to be very, very careful. Just as a person recites kalima shahada and he enters Islam, and that's the power of the tongue. Similarly, if a person recites something which goes against Islam and the tenets of faith, he leaves Islam as well. It's the same tongue. It can make someone a believer, make someone a disbeliever. You have to be very, very careful. Look, for example, our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik. He's the owner. He's the king. He was there prior to everything coming into existence. And nothing came into existence except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preceded that. Allah ta'ala is beginningless. He's pre-eternal. He doesn't have a start. He doesn't have an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full authority, complete authority to do as He wills. He created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens, the earth, the skies, and paradise, hellfire. And He existed prior to creating all of these as well. He is azali, pre-eternal. He is abadi, He is ever-living. He will never have an end. His zat, His being is qadeem. His sifat are qadeem. His attributes are qadeem. And qadeem here is an istilah, is a terminology that is used in Islam, especially by the scholars of ilmul kalam, theology. It means pre-eternal. Allah Ta'ala is qadeem in the sense that He has no beginning. He's always existed. He's pre-eternal. For example, ourselves were not qadeem, we're hadith. There was a time we didn't exist. We came into existence with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever Allah ordained. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can never say He had a beginning. Or there was an occasion or a time when He did not exist. In fact, time itself is a creation. Place is a creation. Directions are a creation. So we cannot confine Allah to these things as well. So these are things that we need to learn. Everything in creation is hadith, is created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone, is independent. None can reach His level or rank or status. In Surah Ikhlas, when we read it, what do we read? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say, He, Allah, is one. Allahu samad, Allah is independent. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He did not give birth, nor was He given birth to. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And no one is on the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is compatible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kids know this surah, but we need to instill in them the meanings of this surah. What do we mean when we recite Surah Ikhlas? So powerful. We covered in a previous episode that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from having a body, free from being confined to a place. These are all beliefs which are kufriya, meaning believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is limited to a place, believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a physical body. These are dangerous. They nullify iman. They invalidate iman. Some people say, we are on the earth, Allah is above the earth. Allah is above the heavens, rather. They say these things. or they say, the one above will sort out our problems, will remove our afflictions. What do they mean there? Do they mean physically? It's dangerous. Ulama have said, don't use such words. Why? Because you are specifying a place, location for Allah, whereas He is free from that. He is not weak, He is all powerful. He cannot be confined to a place. Allah is not in need of a place. Allah is independent. We're in need of a place. We are muhtaj. We are confined. We are governed by these laws. We are confined by time and space. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is all complete. Encompasses everything. It does not increase gradually or anything like that. It's kamil. Whereas we as human beings, our knowledge increases over time. Our knowledge can fluctuate. It changes. There's taghayyur in that knowledge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot say this. He is alim. And the meaning of alim for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that His knowledge is complete. His knowledge is qadeem as well, pre-eternal. And again, it's very unfortunate that today people are glued to their mobile phones, social media, media in general. They listen to the wrong people. They listen to even those who oppose Islam. And they take inspiration from their posts, their social media channels. Whereas Islam is a perfect religion. It's a complete religion. We don't need guidance from anywhere else. In fact, any guidance from outside of Islam is not in reality guidance. Islam is sufficient for us. And when people are glued to their screens, they're scrolling, they hear someone saying something, and he may be in the guise of a scholar. He's not a scholar. He'll say something against Islam. He'll say something against the tenets of belief. Or we listen to certain people who are comedians and ma'azallah in jest while joking, they'll mock the deen. Whatever they say becomes firmly embedded in a person's mind. Very, very dangerous. One thing that Awamun Nas are also known to say is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgotten about such a person. So dangerous to say this. Oh, so-and-so is not dying, Allah has forgotten him. Or so-and-so is afflicted, he's doing dua, Allah has forgotten him. Not accepting his dua. Meaning he's forgotten him. These words are so dangerous. In Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we're told, La yadullu Rabbi wa la yansa. My Lord is not misguided and He does not forget. The speech of Allah is the most truthful speech. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. No one has speech which is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech. So these are sentences and statements that are so detrimental to iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hakeem. None of His actions are devoid of wisdom. So if He is delaying in giving something to someone, or if He is not taking the life of an oppressor even, we might not know the hikmah at that particular time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He does is best. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, there's wisdom in there that we don't know about. So these are sentences that we should be wary of. And if we hear anyone say or say things like this, to this effect, we should try and rectify them if we can. If we want to be from those believers, sahibul iman, who have strong iman, who are not misguided, who do not make mistakes in their aqidah, who are beloved to Allah, who are close to Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we should want that for others as well. And if we hear someone making a mistake and we ignore it, even though we know if we tell that person, he would listen, then we're doing wrong. It's wajib for us in that situation to tell them. Because we know that person won't react angrily. That person will be a well-wisher. The person will be grateful that we told him that he said wrong. But here people have a different attitude and mindset. Oh, it's not my problem. Or someone else will tell him one day, Allahu Akbar Kabira. If someone is committing kufr right in front of you, you're thinking, chalo, someone will tell him one day. What if he dies tomorrow? What if he dies the next instant? He dies as a kafir, as a disbeliever. So we have to be very careful. We have to use wisdom. We have to use compassionate words, affectionate words. Be nice to a person even when rectifying them. Look, when Fir'aun, the tyrant of his time, one of the greatest oppressors ever to exist on earth. When Allah Ta'ala ordered Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam and Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam to visit Fir'aun to invite him towards righteousness, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instruct? فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Allah ta'ala commanded Sayyiduna Musa and Sayyiduna Harun alayhim as-salam that speak to him gently. And speaking gently may bring him close to Allah. It may not, but at the same time, look at the hukam, speak to him gently. And today, we want to shout down people's throats. We want to be assertive. We want to say things in a manner that the other person can't react, or he's silenced. That's not how things work. If somebody's iman is at stake, you're going to use gentleness. You're going to say, brother, that's dangerous. Consult the ulama, but I think what you said is against Islam. Don't make it into a dispute. Don't quarrel. And say, look, what's the haraj in asking an alim or a mufti or consulting them? If they say to you that what you said doesn't constitute disbelief, alhamdulillah. Or if it's one of those which can be interpreted like that, then you've saved your iman. You're renewing your iman. Any humiliation, any disgrace, or any lowliness that you have to show in the dunya is nothing in comparison to the disgrace of the hereafter. If someone has to humble themselves and has to go and speak and say, look, this was said by me, what's the hukam? And that saves his iman, isn't that better than facing the disgrace of the hereafter, humiliation in the hereafter, torment and punishment in the hereafter? So these are things that we should be very wary of as Muslims. Another sentence that is often heard, Allah Ta'ala doesn't listen to our prayers. This is what some people say. Now here again, what is the need to say that? But if you go deeply into it, the ulama have told us that here there's two different implications. It could either mean Allah Ta'ala is not listening to our supplications, meaning is not accepting our supplications. There's a ta'wil there. But it could also mean, and this is the intention of the speaker that has to be ascertained, that Allah can't hear our dua. Literally, that's kufr. Allah Ta'ala is all hearing. Allah Ta'ala is Sami'un Basir. He hears everything, he sees everything. And these statements shouldn't be said. Why do we have them so common on our tongues? Why are they so widespread? Why are we teaching the next generation these things? It's silly, it's foolish, it's dangerous. So it's a lack of knowledge, of course. People who are not close to the deen, not close to the ulama of Islam, they end up saying things like this. Look, this topic is very, very sensitive. Amir Ahl Sunnah Dawud Barakatuh Mulawiyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, has written a whole book, Kufriya Kalimat Ke Bare Mein Sawal Jawab. Questions and answers related to statements of disbelief. And so beautifully composed this book. Why did he compose it? Is he getting royalties? Is he getting paid for the publication of the book? No, he doesn't take any money. He wrote this book to safeguard the iman of the Muslim Ummah. And I guarantee anybody who reads that book, anybody who reads that book or listens to that book, he will become fearful regarding his iman. He'll become cautious in what he says, what he does. He will become muhtat and become very wary. That iman is not something that you can play around with. It's not a trivial thing. Some people, ma'adallah, thumma ma'adallah, they say jumlah like, if this isn't the case, may I not die upon iman. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Iman is such a trivial thing that you can say something like that. That, oh, if this isn't the case, I lose my iman. May I lose my iman. What's the dunya coming to? What's the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to? Why are we saying these stupid things? These foolish comments. Do we not understand the value of iman? Do we not understand that the only way you will enter Jannah and the bounties of paradise is through iman? Do we not understand that only the believers are beloved to Allah? Do we not understand that the Prophet ﷺ sacrificed throughout his life because he wanted to spread iman? Yet today we think it's a minor, a trivial thing, a small thing. It's not a small thing, dear viewers of Islam. We're Muslims today. May Allah make us die as Muslims as well. This is the dua we should always make. Don't let anything come in between you and your iman. Don't let anything corrupt your iman, pollute your iman. deviate your iman. So these are things that we need to learn. Study the book of Amir Ahl Sunnat. Sit with the scholar. Ask the scholar to explain that book to you, because you will have intricate discussions, in-depth discussions about certain topics. And we need to understand them fully. And remember, when reading those books, when listening to a book like Kufriya Kalimat Ki Bare Sawal Jawab, the purpose is not to go out and start putting fatwa on people. No, we rectify ourselves first and foremost. Why we seek knowledge? Why do we seek knowledge? For ourselves. To rectify ourselves first and foremost. If anyone else benefits, you hear something said, you go back to the book and you think, oh, wait a minute, the person has said something incorrect because I read it in the book. Then nicely, you try to make that person aware. Gently. Use a lenient approach. If that person understands and listens, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't, then say, look, I would advise you to speak to a scholar about that, because I'm not too sure about that. It sounds wrong. So we are here to rectify ourselves, rectify our loved ones. We can only do this through knowledge. I mean, to educate the masses. How long will we continue in this ignorant state? When someone dies, people complain regarding Allah. Why did he take him so soon? I haven't seen his happy days yet. Why was Allah, ma'adallah, people say, why was Allah so mean to me? Didn't he realize that this was the apple of my eye? What kind of things are we saying? What kind of things are people saying? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave life. He takes life. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is what we say when someone passes away, or in general when we face difficulty. We belong to Allah. We have to return to Allah. This is the crux of the matter. In one hadith, we're told the dua, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. That, oh Allah, grant me reward for this musibah and replace it with something better. These are the things we should learn about. These are the things that should help us in those times. We're not aware of these things. We're so far from the deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve our iman. May Allah protect our iman. Strengthen our iman. Save us from anything that nullifies and invalidates iman. May Allah ta'ala grant us death in Madinatul Munawwara, the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and burial in Jannatul Baqi'. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Our Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way, guided by faith we need.